This is tape number two, side number one, with Louis Lajeunesse of Marquette. And the interviewer is Mary Andes. And the interview is taking place at Mr. Lajeunesse's home on Hampton Street in Marquette. The focus of this part of the tape, this part of the oral history, will be his personal life and his family life. Louis, can you tell me the names of your brothers and sisters?
We were six in the family, and Joe was the oldest one, and Louis, I'm Louis, and I was the next one, and then I had Cora. There was Cora, my sisters. There was Cora, and there was Florence and Leia, and there were six in the family, and Earl. And he was the youngest, and we lived on a farm, and we farmed pretty heavy, and then we worked the woods in the winter time, and farm and made a lot of hay, and we had three teams of horses, heavy horses, to work the farms, and the woods.
And, so all the work that you did on the farm was done with horses and not with tractors?
We just had one tractor that come in the later years. That was a Fortson, and then that was the only tractor we had. And then when we left the farm, we stopped farming, and we spent about that was a family farm, and so I gotta think now.
Let's talk a little bit about how you met your wife and what her maiden name was, and how you met and what you did. Do you remember the day that you met her, for instance, and what did you do for a date?
I was about 17 years old, and then I met my wife on they were living on a farm too, and a big farm. They had about 30 head of cattle, and I met her at some dances, and we went together for almost 2 years, We got married,
Let me ask you a question. Besides the dances, and you need to get your wife's maiden name on tape. When you and Alice would go on a date, what would you do on a date besides going dancing?
We go on a Saturday. We go to a show, and once a week. And there wasn't too much money those days, and that was back in the 30s, and Roy Rogers was the one where our favorite those days, and Cowboys and Hoppy Long Cassidy and all those, you know, those Cowboys those days, and that was what we looked for at the end of the week, you know, and. Once a week we'd do that, and then we'd go to a dance, and it was in country dances, and most of the time, and we had an old car that was Model A those days, which was great. It was a nice one, and we could get around pretty good that way. And it was about a couple of years. I went with her, and then we finally got married. That was 1934. And then we had our girl, and then we had to look for a job then, you know, to support her. And there was no relief those days, you know. You just had to go to work someplace.
Was that when you started working in the mine then?
No. And then we went through the 30s, almost through the whole 30s there, and we had to look for jobs like that, and then there was a doctor that had a big job in Scanee, which was he had a lot of timber, lots of timber, and he needed a cook, and my wife was a good cook. She was only 17 years, but she was coming 18 years old, and so he gave us both of us a job, and so there was a big camp where all the men stayed. It might have been 25 men, and we had our own camp, and the own cook camp with a bedroom off the side, and then there was a meat shanty on the side for all the meat, where the meat hung, and it was all in the winter time, and then she cooked for 25 men. We cooked for all that winter, and she did, and it was hard going. Money wasn't big those days, but it was a job and to make a living, anyway, she'd cook all the bread, and I'd help her to cut the meat, and then she made pies and big long tables, and we took the kid right with us, you know, and I'd help her to cut all the meat, and in the morning get up and help her to make breakfast. You had to get up at 5 o'clock in the morning, and there were all kinds of things you had to do, you know, to feed the men. And then I drove a brand new truck and trailer. I'd make one trip a day to Escanaba from Scanee, which about round trip was about 375 miles. You start 7 o'clock in the morning, and come back at about 10 o'clock at night in the winter time, and haul into the bird's eye, 3,600 feet on the truck and trailer, which was a long day, and then help her too, you know, to do that work, and we had charge of the gas pumps there and all that. And we stayed there the whole winter. We had a little steak when we got out of there in the spring, you know, which money wasn't big, but it was money, you know.
What year was that, Louis? Do you know?
That was back in 37, 38.
Let me ask you a question. You said that you had to drive 300 miles a day. Were the roads paved? What kinds of road conditions did you run into driving that distance every day? And was that 7 days a week or just 5 days a week?
That was 5 days a week. We drove that the mowers, and we'd come down out of Scanee. That was about 30 miles north of Lawrence, and we'd come down to the junction, and we'd go down to True Iron Mountain, and then we go down to the road, Iron Mountain, then we hit Florence, Wisconsin, and come back on 41 to Spalding and back to Escanaba. It made quite a long route, and sometimes we had to watch the weight, because you come by the true Lance, and they'd stop you and put the weights on for see how heavy a load you had, and then we get into Wisconsin, we do the same thing there, so we were caught twice for so we had to watch ourselves, and there was times that I had to roll a log off, you know, it was too heavy, and you know, they wouldn't leave you go in, bring it in, you know, and it was pretty touchy that way. You had to watch your weight, mm-hmm. you know. Mm-hmm. And
I want to backtrack and ask one question. Tell me what your wife's maiden name was.
And my wife's maiden name was Larson, Alice Larson. And they had a big farm there. And
And what's your daughter's name?
My daughter's name was Phyllis.
All right. You spent the winter then working on the in the logging camp. After that winter, then when you came back, did you come back to West Branch or to Marquette? And what did you do then?
Then we come back to West Branch in the spring in the breakup, and we had built a little house there. There was a two bedroom and a little garage, and we stayed there about 4 years. And then we sold that from there, and then we moved to Beaver Grove, and then we built the house there, and we had two lots there, and we built that one house and finished that off, and then a couple years after we started that house on the other lot, and we finished that off. We built that one too, And in the meantime, from when I moved there, when I made that move, that's when I started in the mines. I started in the Negaunee mine and worked from there. And then I finished the houses after I got a better job and making better money.
So you'd work a regular 8-hour workday, and then you'd come home and do some construction on your house on evenings and weekends?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
During the time that Phyllis was growing up, what would a typical Christmas be like? What kinds of things would she get for Christmas, and what would if can you describe to me Christmas Day from the time you got up in the morning, or from the time that you went to bed at night and got all of her things ready?
For Christmas.
Yeah.
And for Christmas, we always had a nice tree and always made sure we had something for our daughter. And that she liked, and we could afford them to get all her clothes, and she always liked nice clothes, and she'd always go to Getz's and get her clothes, and she always come first and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. What would be her favorite thing? Do you remember any particular things that toy-wise that she liked? Did she have a favorite doll or a favorite thing? We'll finish up on Christmas a little bit later. First, Louie, tell me about your truck that you had.
And while I was working in the mine, and I picked up a 2-ton truck, a Dodge, and then I was hauling, when I was three shifts, I haul cement blocks in the 8th edition, and I make a trip a day. In the morning, when it was afternoon, and when it was midnight, then I'd make another trip, and I was hauling for a cement block company, and I haul tons and tons of blocks here when they first start the 8th edition, so I was making extra money there, you know.
Mm-hmm. So. Would this be the 8th edition in Ishpeming?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That was 8th edition. 8th edition in Ishpeming.
How many years did you do that?
I did it for all one summer, and while that company was in business, and then I'd haul some wood around, block wood, with the truck, and I'll buy it from people that was making wood, and then haul it and I'd make a little money on the side that way, and it would help to pay my bills when I was building and so forth. And
You said that you, altogether, you built 4 different houses, is that right? Can you tell me a little bit about, anything about the building process that you liked particularly? Because the home that you live in now is very, very nice, and it looks like you really enjoyed what you did.
Yeah, and the fourth house, I built that on 480, which was a ranch, and that was near Brywood. Now Brywood's in there now,
mm-hmm.
and those days, it wasn't like it is now. You buy everything. The hardware is all in the doors, and in the window frames are all together. And those days, you had to just put everything together yourself and cut your own window frames, lots and sills, and put everything together and hardware. You had to put that all together, doors, and there was not income already like it is today. And you take the plumbing was much harder to do, and today is not, and all you need is a handsaw today to make a plumbing and go. Mm-hmm. And those days you got a lot of pipe and you had to do a lot of treading and all that stuff, and I did all that work. And all the piping and
how did you have the energy to do all this? You worked an 8-hour day in the mine, and then you came home and you built. How did you keep your energy up to keep doing that all the time?
I don't know. My energy. I don't know. I just kept going, I guess, and pick up rest in between
Mm-hmm. Tell me if Alice's cooking had anything to do with your energy level. Was she a good cook? And can you tell me what her favorite, what your favorite things were that she would make for you?
And my wife, when she cooked, she had all kinds of good stuff. And one thing she always, when I come home from work, if it was in the woods or whatever I'd done, she always had a good supper. And then if I was home around dinner, I never ate much on midnight shift, but when I worked day shift, she always had a good supper waiting for me. Mm-hmm. And she baked her own cakes and done her own pies, and she canned quite a bit, and she loved to cook. She was always doing something like that. You know, she took that from her mother. I guess her mother felt good by mixing for a cake and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. And it was different those days, and people were more good, were friendly to help one another, and it isn't like today. You know, it's things were different those days.
Mm-hmm. After Alice worked that one winter for cooking for the lumber people, did she work at all after that?
Yeah, and after she after we come back home that spring, and then she always had jobs for doctors, and she'd go and help them, and she'd go there just about every day, you know, different ones. And after you knew one doctor, you knew them, they'd tell one another, and then if they like a person, they would tell one another, and then that's the way she worked anyway. And she done lots of that jobs like that, yeah.
What kinds of jobs did she do for the doctors? Did she work in their offices or their homes or what?
No, she worked in their homes, dusting and stuff like that. That's the kind of work she done for them.
All right. During the time that that your daughter was growing up, what kinds of things would you do together on your days off as a family?
On our days off, we'd go riding, and if I had a day off, we'd go riding. We'd go to town. We'd go shopping and walking around. And we'd go for a ride. We'd go to Ireland if it was summertime, and we'd have picnics, and we're always trying to do something, to keep ourselves happy. Mm-hmm. And we made quite a few trips, we went to Texas. We went to Amarillo. In El Paso, Texas, and over to San's Pool Ground, Rio Grande, in Chicago and up around and those places.
Okay. Okay. Did you do a trip pretty much every year, or did you do it every few years?
We done it just about every summer, and went around like that in different places. Yeah.
What about clubs or anything like that? Did either you or Alice participate in any organizational kinds of things?
And then when I worked for the mining company, we always donated to Boy Scouts and all the things that they brought up, you know, and it took so much a month out of it in all the years I've been working there, and that was what they wanted, and most of the people went along with it.
How about during the time that your daughter was growing up, and even now, was church a big part of your life? Was it a big part of everybody's life?
In the church was. We joined the church. We were going to church before, and Alice was too. She had her own church in Scandia. And I was a Swedish Lutheran, and belonged to the Catholic Church then, and I got confirmed Catholic, and then after we got married, and then a year after we had the kid, the girl, Phyllis, and so she wanted to. We got married at Messiah Lutheran, and that was the old church on Ridge Street there, Messiah Lutheran. Then they ain't there no more. They got the new one down 4th Street, and she says, we got married there, and she says, well, she said, we have to raise the girl Lutheran. What do you want to raise her? You know, Lutheran. I said, you raise her Messiah at the Messiah Church, Lutheran. And I says, I believe in one God anyway. So I said, that makes no difference to me. I says.
Can you tell me about the time that you did a road job?
And we decided to go working for our road jobs in two, and that the road there on two, US 2 from Rapid River to Manistique. We went to work there, and I got bought a truck from a brand new truck from Bell Chevrolet that was in Ishming, and a dump box, and we worked four years on the road jobs. We followed that road jobs, and we put all the grades from there, from Rapid River to Manistique, and all down to I can't think of the name now. It's between there, anyway. And I took the kid and my wife, and then we rented a little place long way, and there were no house trailers those days, and it was always a little place to rent, and. So we stayed on that road job till I was finished, mm-hmm. and then the next year they paved it, then we worked on that too, and hauling cement and stuff, and then and was going on the fourth year. We had finished that in the third year. That was somebody from Grand Rapids who had the job. And there was about 40 trucks on there. They had them big gas shovels then, you know. And they were from all over Detroit, Flint, with trucks. And it kind of a dusty job, all those trucks going all the time. And there was no place to take a bath. We used to go down there and, I can't think of that name there. It's out for Lake of Michigan anyway. But, we used to go, at night we would have to go there, we'd go down and swim in that lake there, and that's about the only place you could take a bath. And anyway, it was about on the third year, then when we got that job completed, and then we went to over there in Ishpeming and got a job there. That was from Shuri. That big contractor was Shuri. And that was back in 36. That's what there was such a hard time. There were just the trucks that was working. They had big gas shovels there, and they wouldn't leave them running them gas shovels, that jobber, that contractor. And there was about 600 men there working there. They had to give them all jobs because there was not too much work. Mm-hmm. And that was from Church Street right out in West Ishpeming there, where they finished that stretch through there. Mm-hmm. And where Permiters, I guess, is in there now and stuff. Yeah. So we helped to put all that in there, the grade, mm-hmm. and they shovel all that dirt by hand. For the fills, and the only thing they dug out, they used the machinery for us to dig out the low spots where they could fill in the dirt. And that their contractor went in the hole that time, and I don't know what happened to him, but he went in the hole doing that job. And then we got all the grade in and the fill in. And then it was a couple of months before the fall come, and then we started to haul cement there, to cement that, so we stayed there till almost the freezing points were coming in, mm-hmm. and it was almost done. Then they finished it the next year, mm-hmm. and that's when they call at the NRA those days. He had some guys working. He had this contractor built a log house, and everybody knows about that, I guess, in Ishpeming. He built a log house there up on the, well, that's up on the hill where Permiters is known. And that was built with money that from the workers, and on the end they took it away from them. So the log house was moved, and I think it's up there, up the road now. It's up there, past Republic someplace, on the right side. On the right side is built there. I think it's a tavern, the eating place now. Okay. You know where that is. No?
So, this is tape number two, side number two, of the interview with Louis Lajeunesse. And we're talking a little bit, just in conclusion, about personal life and family life. Is there anything I should have asked you, Louis, that I didn't, that you'd like to talk about a little bit?
Well, talking about the steel in the mines and what they call double H steel, and mostly any steel, where there was hematite, it was real heavy, and it would bend into sways and hoops, and after several months, maybe some places a couple months, and it would bend down like a hoop, and you'd have to go in there and tear them legs out, tear them double eights out, and replace new ones. And they were 2 feet apart for a good half a mile in there, someplace on main lines. And you'd have to use severing torches, and some places it was, after it was sitting there a while, kind of rusty. And when you try to burn that, it would settle in. You'd have to get all that rust off before you could cut it off and put new ones. And it was really, really hard. You had to make sure it was clean. So we learned to do all that stuff as you went along. And then we used to put braces, they had to put braces on legs, and on those steel legs, the 8-8 steel. And they used a lot of steel, most of steel. The backs were covered with wagon and stuff, but it was a steady repair where there was hematite. But mm-hmm. And then where you hit the hard rock, they didn't use no steel. They just used roof bolts, and they were about 8 feet long. You drill holes in there, and then you use big plates, and that was above as you're going in. And then they went in there on treads, and it was big plates to hold the rock up then, which was very safe to run through, and they had no trouble thereafter.
I know when with the tape was stopped earlier, we were talking a little bit about double eights. Can you? If somebody's never heard of a double eight before, how would you define for them or describe for them what a double eight is?
And talking about a double eight steel, they were about 10 feet long, and that was 8 inches wide, and 6 inches, 8 inches one way and 6 inches the other way, and made like an H. And it was, and that was instead of one piece of steel, it was two pieces wrapped around it. There was we call it double eight steel, and which was strengthened up very much. And they weighed about 350 pounds apiece. You had to be pretty strong to put one up. And it took two guys all we could do to lift it up there, and you don't want to let it come down on you when you lift it, and then you tied it up there with a brace, and till you get the other, both sides that way, and then there was a cap that went on there. That was a double eight too, and that was 9 feet wide, and so and they were all bolted together, and then there were straps on the side to hold them in line, which made a nice drift as long as it wasn't too heavy. Mm-hmm. Most of the places there was a lot of repairing. Steel was a big cost. There was one guy told me, he said, "There's just so much steel down here. It's what we're taking out, you know." I said, "I don't know." I said, "There's a lot of steel, all right." I said, "You start going quarter of a mile and a half a mile, the dumb drifts, and then plus the other places you're using the steel, there's a lot of steel being used."
Mm-hmm. And a lot of steel railroad tracks too, I bet, huh?
And then you had your railroad tracks on there; they were all steel, And one thing I want to talk about is the big pumps they had down there. They were just like it was as big as, the room was as big as, it might have been, 150 feet every way. And it was into solid rock. And the big pistons in there was about, the cylinders in there was about 12 inches. And they had three, four of those big pumps in there. And then there was a, it was piped in there from down, from inside. What I think was about at least 8 to 10 inches, 8 to 10 inches of pipe was piped running in down there to the where the big pumps was from inside the mine, mm-hmm. And that where the and it was built like a like a big dome, like a big dome the way they drill that rock in there. 150 feet floor, an all cement floor, and it was all painted white. And it was the big pumps must have set up there about 10 feet high, and where they were working, and they were all painted gray, and the ceilings were all painted white, and it was lit up like a just like a house. And very, very clean, very clean. There wasn't a bit of oil running on the floor. There was not. It was really nice. Amazing how they could do that underground, mm-hmm. like that, way down, about 3,000 feet down.
Yeah. I have one last little unrelated to the mine part. You told me that when you and Alice were dating, you would go to the movies, and I'm curious if you remember how much it would cost to go to the movies and see Roy Rogers.
When me and Alice used to, and the girl used to go to the movies, you could go in there for about 25 cents those days. And that was about the main thing the people went to. I guess it was always filled up, the theaters were always filled up those days. And that was the only place to go. Plus there and country dances and house parties, and it was a lot of house parties, and then on birthdays and all that, when we was our family life, me and Alice and the girl, we used to have about 25 people would come from town and on Sunday afternoon or whatever, and then come and have a accordion, a guitar, and have a nice picnic lunch, and all get together, and we go to one another's house that way, and it was interesting, it was great, mm-hmm. pass the time away.
Mm-hmm. You said somebody brought a guitar, and what else?
The what?
Was there another musical instrument that you mentioned besides a guitar?
Accordion was the other instrument and the guitar. Yes.
Did you sing or dance or what? What was the music? Just somebody played and you listened or what?
And they played with the kids they play ball and around the yard and listen to the music and, mm-hmm. and that's what passed the time away. Mm-hmm.
Was there ever a sing-along with the music?
Yeah, there was some of them singing. Some of the ladies were singing, the girls, and what they knew, the older songs.
Do you remember what any of the songs were?
No, I don't. Not right now, no.
All right. Okay. What do you think, Louis, when you see... you know, you've worked for many, many, many years, and you've seen a lot of changes happen in those years. What do you think about the way you felt about your job when you were working and what you see with people that are, you know, younger and raising families now about their attitudes? Do you think there's been a big change, or is it pretty much still the same that you can see?
Um, I think from those times, and the times today has changed so much, is just like day and night to me it is. And kids has got it so good now, and they can, the families, they go to, they bus them into school now, the families make sure they go to school, and they got all kinds of things going on that we never had in those days, and they got buses to take them in, and where they can't walk to school, the older days you didn't have nothing like that, and kids have got so much to, that they can do and get educated now, for the way the world is today, which is good. You have to have it. Mm-hmm. And the big changes has been made, you know, all through for many years, over 50 years, we'll say. It has to be something like that, mm-hmm. and otherwise people wouldn't be able to survive.
Okay, I think the last thing I just want to ask you about then, Louis, is Phyllis's children. How many children does she have, and can you give me their names, and what do they all do for their professions or their living?
And then my daughter, she had three boys, and got married, and she had three boys. That's Phyllis, and the oldest boy is he works for the state, and he lives in Farmington Hills, and one works for General Motors. That's the youngest boy, Steve, and he's a architect there, and he's doing wonderful. He's with his job, and then there's one that teaches in Grand Valley, and they're all married, and got good jobs, and then I got six great grandkids. From the three boys and their wives, mm-hmm. and they all like David. He lives down in Grand Valley, Grand Rapids, and so she had three boys, okay. And they're three grandsons of mine.
Okay. And what's Phyllis's husband's name?
And Phyllis's husband's name was Bob Champion. From Ishmael, and he had moved away from here for about 40 years when they were all downstate, and he worked for Ford and Ford Road Insurance out of Dearborn, and after 40 years he put 28 years there. For the Ford Road Insurance, and now he had an option to take his pension, so they finally moved back here, but the kids all left downstate, so they go down there and see him once a month, so they moved up here, and they bought a house and a brand new home and. Almost a new home in Shires Hill, so they're living up here now too. So, but they finally, I'll come back where they started from.
Mm-hmm.